time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. For all of you green thumb people out there, have I got a show for you today. Today's topic is starting your garden from seed organically. Hey, we're going to learn all about organics today as we go along. I love plants and everything about them. One of my degrees from Rutgers University was in botany. If you wanted to find me, you could find me in the greenhouse. I just sort of just lived there. I just wanted to know. I wanted to see it grow. As time went on, I had a chili pepper research lab. I did research with chili peppers and tomatoes from around the world. And I spent time filming with my great friend, Inspector Dave, in his organic garden. Learned so much from Dave, learned so much at Rutgers. And then, as you will also find out, is there's so much that, you know, through observation of what your own plants do, and that's where we learn as well. That's the trial and error. So let's get started on your organic garden seeding. Today we're going to talk about prepping, planting, and then the last part, enjoy. So let's talk prep. You know, it's time to do your homework. You're like, what do you mean I have to do homework? Yeah, you know what? Winter time is the perfect time to get some seed catalogs. Go through them. You know what? Hey, I'm a fly fisherman, and you know, the wintertime, we go to fly fishing shows. We get the catalogs. We begin to look because, like, you're all pent up inside. Around where I live, it snows all the time. And you're thinking about the spring. Well, the same is true with me as a gardener. It's like I've got these catalogs, and I look at them. I get online, and while I'm online, I start to look at different seeds, different things that I think might grow. I always have one crop that'll be an experimental crop, just something I want to know about. And then I head to my local nursery, one that sells plants, not kids. By the way, that's a little Joey B humor in there. But your local nurseryman, you should be there and ask some questions. They might be able to give you some ideas because, again, when you're reading a catalog, when you're online, you're not actually talking to someone, and you can get the experience of someone else, a local nurseryman, local greenhouse guy. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. I'm also going to ask you to buy a small spiral notebook that's going to become your plant log. And to me, this is really important. We're going to chart the progress from beginning to end and everything in between. And for me, in my plant log, anything that I think is so important that I'm going to need to know for next year, I always put a star and write the word key because I think this is key. This is vital for what's going to be going on. I record everything that I do, and I record everything that I observe. And this is a daily progress. And the cool thing is you get to hang out with your plants, get to hang out in your little greenhouse if that's what you have. And you get to hang out and learn a lot just by that observation, but we need to record all of them. I'm also going to ask you to think about, okay, so what am I going to plant this year? You know, what excites you and what do you like, taste? And maybe there's an experimental crop. Again, think about this. You get to experiment a little bit. And I'm going to say develop a planting schematic for your, we're going to talk about whether you're going to plant in flats or pots. And you need to know what plants, what germinate close to each other. Some things will germinate very quickly, 3, 4, 5 days. Some things take 7 to 14 days. Well, you'd like to group the plants inside a specific flat, things that germinate very close to each other. And I'm going to ask you to draw the schematic of what you're planting, where you're planting in your plant log, because the domes we'll talk about later on, as you get the hydrologic cycle, the water rising, you know, evaporation inside those domes, you won't be able to see through. So you may as well know prior to. Once you've purchased your seeds, so you've made your selection, you now have collected all your seeds, I'm going to ask you to take a permanent marker, and they sell little plant markers, the plastic ones, they work the best. Because I found that you use a little wooden, like people say, like the popsicle stick type of thing. And the problem with that one is they absorb moisture. So two things, they're taking moisture away from your plant. And after a while, whatever you've written on the marker tends to get, you know, just melted away, so to speak. So the plastic markers, they work really well. And now you're going to have to make a decision. Do I plant in whole flats? And they sell little kits that are out there. You can buy the flat. Some of them will sell the soil, and we'll get to the types of soil in a little bit. And they have the domes that come with them in those kits. Or, and when I say pots, I'm talking about plastic pots that are 3+ inches, 3 inches or larger. I wouldn't recommend going over 3 inches personally. And I do tell you that plastic is the way to go when you, you know, are starting out, if that's what you're going with, nothing larger than that. Keep in mind that that dome, you're going to need to keep heat in and moisture. So those domes work really well because that's what seeds need to germinate. Well, if you don't have a dome, you're going to use the plastic pots. One of the things you can use is just really simple. A couple markers that are inserted in a pot, so it just props it up above the plastic pot. And you can put plastic wrap with a rubber band around it. So you can actually create your own little domes if that's the way that you're going. I'm also going to say in your prep work, you need to find a tray that's just a little bit larger than your flat or a little bit larger than collectively all of your pots. And we'll get to why you need this tray later on. That is one of the, you'll see, one of the key things later on. Let's talk about the planting and the planting date. In your part of the country, you need to find out, well, what is the plant date? What that really refers to is you're going to plant indoors so there is enough time for them to grow indoors to be just transferred to be outside to get into your garden. And it doesn't matter whether you happen to be a apartment dweller and you're going to container grow. If you're a backyard gardener or you're a small scale farmer, everything, actually, if you're a large scale farmer, everything we speak about today also works. You just need to have more people working for you. The start date for me in my part of the country happens to be March 17th. Not only is it St. Patrick's Day, but it's the day that we actually begin to sow our seeds. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you've purchased organic seed starter mix. There is a definite difference between a seed starter mix and a transplant mix. The seed starter mix, its job is to retain, hold moisture. And obviously, we already said that that's what, one of the key things that seeds need for germination. Later on, you can go to a Pro Mix, and that's typically my transplant mix. And the Pro Mix is great for nutrient retention, which a seed starter mix is not. So remember, seeds need heat. That's what the domes are for. And moisture. And that's why we use the seed starter mix. Here's the deal. In a separate tray, you're going to mix your soil and your water. And let's talk a little bit about that. It depends on how much seed starter mix you're going to use. We use a tremendous amount. So one of the things I went to is I went to my local hardware store and I bought a large plastic cement mixing. So this is a container that you would actually mix your cement in. But it's the perfect thing for soil. And we keep everything sterile, meaning that whatever I use for my planting does not get used for any other purpose. And that means that seed, the plastic tray we use that I've purchased for the cement that I'm using for my soil, only gets used once a year, and that's all it's for. Well, one of the other things you're going to do is you're going to prep the water. And you're going to have to sort of calculate first year how much water do you really need. And we like this water to be at room temp. So you're going to get the water in your plastic containers, whatever you're doing, 5-gallon containers. And you're going to leave the cap off because there are a lot of gases sometimes if you're using tap water. If you're using well water, you still have to test that water. But the tap water has different fluorides and some of the things are trihalomethanes, big names. But by leaving the cap off, those gases escape. So you're not actually putting those into your soil mix. Well, here we go. So let's figure out, what's the proper amount of water? Well, I'm going to ask you to add some water, mix your soil, and you're going to add it. And then you're going to actually have to do my hand test. You're going to actually put your hand inside there, and you're going to squeeze the soil. And when water just squeezes out, it's almost like, you know, if you're mopping up something in the kitchen with a paper towel, and you know that paper towel has absorbed just a little bit too much water. You squeeze the paper towel, and the water comes out. That's really what you're looking for. And now you know you have the proper amount of moisture. So think about this. Seeding, germination, moisture is one of them. You just figured out the exact amount. Fill the pots, fill the cells. And that, basically, the bottom line is I just take my hand and I pour some out and because I don't want to damage. Sometimes the cells, the pots aren't so strong, so I don't want to put a digging trowel or something like that over them. So I just put the soil. Once I have the soil and I believe they're covered, I now need to tamp the soil down lightly. Tamp the soil down lightly simply means we're going to, when I say pack it, it's not the thing because we don't want the soil packed. And what I use is a wooden dowel. Wooden dowel you could purchase at any hardware store. I just take a little piece. Depends on the size of the cells or the pots. Depends on which type of dowel I use. I have a few different ones. And I just simply lightly, keyword lightly, you're just touching the top of the soil and you'll see it compressing a little bit. And that's all you want. Once it's compressed a little bit, then I take some more soil and I just simply fill the top. And now you know that it is prepped. It is to the top. One of the things with, if you're using one of those 3-inch pots with the holes that are in the bottom, some of the holes are a little bit large. And here's a little hint. What I typically will do is take a paper towel, tear a little piece, put it on the bottom. And when it's put on the bottom, as you fill the soil inside of it, as moisture wants to go out of your pot, soil doesn't leave through those holes. Because if any of you ever had a house plant and all of a sudden you see the soil level getting lower and lower, you go, oh, why? It's because of the large holes there. And now you know when you're doing your house plants as well, you can use the little Joey B paper towel trick. We need to make sure that we have the seeds and put the seeds in the right place at the right depth. This becomes key. So if I'm doing a small amount of seeds, I simply will take my hand, make sure that it is cupped, and I pour some of the seeds. I don't pour all the seeds because if I drop the seeds and you go, oops, I dropped the seeds, you'll be scrambling and some of the seeds are so tiny. So I have seeds in a cupped hand. I've got a pencil with a sharp point. And what I'm going to do is go into the center of the cell, poke a little hole, and you look at the size of the seed. You want a hole twice that depth, a little poke, pick up a seed, drop it in. And then with the pencil, I just sort of backfill, just touch the edges of it. And I know that I've actually put them at the correct depth, and I know that I've covered them over. Now, you can go from rosemary seeds if you're an herb type of person. And these seeds are so tiny. It's like you look at them going, holy moly. And you know a really cool thing, and this is what I think nature's or makes nature so cool, is you look at this tiny little seed, and then all of a sudden, by the end of the year, you get this huge rosemary plant, and this tiny seed made that. That's pretty neat. You know, and you can go up to pumpkin seeds, which are monstrous compared to a rosemary seed. If you're going to plant something like this, well, then again, you're going to poke a hole. You're going to move that pencil point down a little bit, make it a little bit larger so it fits inside of there. So that is key. Now, the next key thing I find is as soon as you've seeded cells, so say you've planted 6 cells and they're going to be your rosemary, I absolutely put my markers in at that point in time, because once you turn around to get more seeds, different seeds, and come back, you're going, oh, did I plant those cells? And I have seen people going, oh, I got a rosemary and I got a sage coming up in the same one. How did that happen? Well, that's how it happened. So that's why we wanted to have those markers in the prep section, have them already done. So this way you're grabbing onto them and you're marking right away. That becomes a real important piece. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, so now once we've seeded them, we're going to put our, you know, flats or our pots, we're going to put them in that tray that I said that was just larger than, and here's the key thing, we're then going to carry our trays now with our flats or whatever we have, we're going to carry those to our, we'll call it our landing point, whether you have a little mini greenhouse. Hey, some of you may just have a nice little sunny windowsill, and that works fine. And you're going to get them so they're there, and at that point, you're going to either put your domes on, or like we described before with the plastic wrap and the rubber bands, to create a dome. If you want to see all of my adventures, you can simply go online to joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. I'm going to take this show one step further. See, what I did was I prepped you into, you know, how you can plant. I showed you how to plant. Well, when those domes come off, and just, you know, let me just share this with you. You typically leave the domes on until some of the plants are just about to hit that dome. We don't want it to hit the domes, because on the top of the domes, you're going to see, because it does generate heat, you're going to get water to evaporate and condense on the top, and then it's going to accumulate on the top, precipitate down, and that's what it does. But as soon as we take the domes off, there is a fungus that wants to attack young seedlings, and that's actually called damping off fungi. And damping off fungi, it's funny. You'll be looking at these beautiful, healthy plants, and then you come back, you know, hours later, and all of a sudden, it almost looks like they've wilted down, or somebody just pulled them out of the soil, and it's amazing. And that's how the damping off fungi attacks them. Well, since we are totally organic, we're going to give them the first organic nutrient. And the first organic nutrient, believe it or not, is chamomile tea. Yes. So in that prep side of all we always do, when you're about to take the domes off, so you're going, hey, tomorrow the dome's coming off. Well, then we're going to brew a big batch of chamomile tea. And you make a general call as to, you know, how much tea you really need. You know, for your local windowsill, you know, small little planting, you don't need that much. But for me, Chili Pepper Research Lab, we were brewing gallons upon gallons upon gallons. And let me tell you, it does take a long time, because the key thing here is you need to brew it and give it enough time for it to get to room temperature. And if you're brewing vats, typically what we would do is we'd have the huge pots in a sink, and then we would start to surround the actual pot, lid still on, we'd surround the pots with ice just to get it down to, you know, not to chill it, but to get it down to room temperature. Because when we think it's close to room temp, we pull it out of the ice and just let it sit on a windowsill. And then you need to make sure that you have a container, an old juice container, something like that, that's clean so there's no residue of anything, because we don't change any pHs. You need to label. We always label everything we do, whether it's organic or non. But hey, we're the organic guys, so there'd be no non. And you label it chamomile tea. And once again, nothing else goes in there but the calm tea. And now you're going to use a funnel. Remember, you had your flats sitting in a tray. And with the funnel, you're going to put your room temperature chamomile tea. We're going to pour it into the tray. Because remember, there's still moisture in your soil. There's a chemistry term called polarity. And what happens is water likes to play follow the leader. It's because of positive and negatives. And I don't need to get into all the chem stuff, of which I'd love to talk about. But that, hey, maybe that's for another day. And what happens is, you know, like if you ever spill water on your tabletop and you just put your finger in it and you pull your finger along the water tends to play follow the leader because the positives and negatives want to stay together. Well, what happens is the moisture in your soil will actually pull the chamomile tea upward. So every feeding that we do of anything would actually go inside that tray. And as long as that tray is always, I call it to the ruler mark. I have a little ruler and I put a little mark on it, and I want to make sure there's X amount of chamomile tea or any other nutrient that I'm using organically. And that's really what we're looking for there. So you need to find that, you know, once again, having a funnel just for that purpose, no other purpose. Here's your organic gardening tips for the future, because, you know, we've talked about the prep, the planting, and the enjoyment side of things, because, hey, you really get to enjoy every step of the way. You can do some reading on this, because it'll be another show that we'll be talking about the actual organic nutrients, but you want to do your homework on kelp, because kelp does a few things, and I'm just going to give you a couple of things. Kelp, number one, reduces stress. And believe it or not, plants do get stressed. No, it's not for human consumption. Some of you are going, wow, I can use it. No, it is not for you. It also promotes root growth. And obviously, that's real important in a young plant. And the other thing you like to do organically is to go out and do your homework and probably a purchase on fish emulsion. These are the nutrients. Well, my goal is to enjoy myself and have peaceful time. And it doesn't matter whether I am planting, I am recording as things are going, or I am in the organic garden. There is no more peaceful time than that. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. That was awesome.